Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is the Old Testament lesson, especially verse 2. God said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." This is the text. And so, who is this about? It's not about Abraham and Isaac. Never was intended to be about Abraham and Isaac. It's not intended to be about that father and that son going to Moriah and there the sacrifice. No, that's not the whole point. The whole point is that it is about a different father and a different son. And that different father and different son is actually God the Father and His Son. And we start getting clues of this all through the Old Testament lesson. And one of the earliest ones in there is Moriah. Where is Moriah? What is Moriah? Mount Moriah. Turns out, as the Jews will tell you, that's the Temple Mount. The whole region around there is Moriah. So, it includes Mount Calvary. Now we begin to see what's going on. You could call the Old Testament a whole huge book of chancel dramas. You know chancel dramas? Usually it's the youth group that acts something out in front of the congregation, and as often as not, there's something in the chancel drama that hits somebody the wrong way, and you get complaints about chancel dramas. Well, as often as not, these Old Testament stories will hit somebody the wrong way, and you will get complaints about what God has said, about what God has written, about what God has asked His people to do. And so with this one, and this one especially, how could God demand that Abraham offer up his son as a sacrifice? I thought human sacrifice was forbidden by the Bible, and God was absolutely against it. So why is God doing this? It's a chancel drama, if you will. And Abraham and Isaac are going to act out the story that is about a different father and a different son. If you don't get that part, then you look at the story and you say, well, it's about faith and it's about Abraham trusting God, even though God seems to be asking the completely unreasonable and completely forbidden, and by his faith in God, he goes ahead and accepts this command and does what is absolutely forbidden. And wait a minute, that doesn't make any sense, does it? But Abraham had to have faith, and he had to have faith to follow God even when it was exactly the opposite of what God was supposed to be asking. That is, if you look at it without understanding that it really is not about Abraham and Isaac. And what happens in that pattern is that you put faith at the beginning and before anything else. And faith in that setting is not a response to a God who in his loving kindness sent his own son to us, and in his loving kindness gave us his word as a sure gift of his grace, and invites us to walk with him and walk in life with him. Now, in that setting, faith becomes just step out on faith. Just do it. And it is faith without a ground underneath it, without a foundation underneath it. But we're going to put that back into its proper relationship in just a moment. In just a moment, because on the way there, I'd like you to take a look at this Old Testament lesson. I've underlined words that are clues that this might not be about Abraham and Isaac. So, these are the clues, these are the phrases, these are the words. In verse 2, your son, your only son whom you love. Now, doesn't that sound familiar? But it's not Abraham and Isaac. It is from the baptism of Jesus. You are my beloved son, in you I am well pleased. Then there's Moriah, still in verse 2. You get to verse 3. The wood for the burnt offering. That's just a little early hint. Verse 4. How long did it take them to get there? On the third day. You remember? Something very important for us as Christians. On the third day. Well, that's Easter. And these keep piling up. Verse 6. Took the word of the burnt offering and laid it on his son. So you've got the son carrying the wood to the mountain of the sacrifice. Where have we seen that as Christians? Of course, Good Friday. And on the way, verse 7, Isaac says what to his father? First, Father. And then, where is the lamb? And verse 8. Now this is the one that takes absolute and utter and real faith for Abraham to do this, to turn to his son. And he's asked, as they're going up that mountain, as his son is carrying the wood, as Abraham has the knife, as Isaac is asking, where's the lamb? For Abraham then to turn and say, God will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the words echo down through the centuries, and the words finally come to a certain man named John the Baptist, who stands by the Jordan River, and he points, and he says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So tightly woven together. Verse 9, bound his son and laid him on the altar, and Jesus attached to the cross. The knife to slaughter his son, and yes, it was God himself who spoke the sentence, God the Father who poured out his wrath on his son Jesus, God the Father who carried through the sentence so that Jesus was condemned, forsaken, and put to death. And then we come to verse 12. And again, your son, your only son. Verse 13. And what do they see caught in the thicket? A ram. And it is a burnt offering instead of his son. And verse 14. On the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. And then notice this one. Who is it about? Verse 17 skips from one page to another. Your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies. Not of their enemies. It's talking about one. One in particular who would win the victory. One who would break down the gates of hell, conquer sin and death, and bring us into eternal life. That's what this is all about. It's an amazing, absolutely incredible picture of what God the Father did on that mountain with his son. So Abraham and Isaac are going along. They go up to the mountain. The sacrifice is laid out. Abraham takes the knife in his hand, and God says, no farther. You are not the father who will sacrifice his son here. You are not the father who will see the death of his son here. There is only one father who will go the full distance. Only one father who is allowed to give his son for the life of the world. Now, in all of this, as all of this is unfolding, think about what each of the persons involved went through. First off, Isaac. And by the way, back at the birth of Isaac, Sarah laughed. Because when it was announced that she would give birth to a son, she laughed in disbelief. She laughed in disappointment. So when Isaac is born, she laughs for joy. She laughs in amazement. And she names her son Isaac, which in Hebrew means laughter. And Isaac is the one who gets to play the part of the son, who has to go to that mountain, who knows at some point going there that he is the sacrifice. And Isaac then has to walk with his father, hearing the words, God will provide the lamb, looking around, not seeing it. Isaac has to walk, trusting his father. He has to walk the rest of the way, believing his father. He has to trust his father as his father tells him to hold out his hands and starts to tie him up. He has to trust his father as his father lays him on the wood of the altar. And the reason why his part involves that is because of that other son, Jesus Christ, who heads toward Jerusalem, who knows that in going to Jerusalem, he is going to be the sacrifice. He is going to go to Mount Calvary. He is going to go there, and his father is going to judge him. And along the journey, Jesus has to trust his father. He has to walk the walk of faith. He calls out to his father in prayer. Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Father, do not hold this sin against them. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Claiming that relationship and holding to that relationship and the promises of the Word of God, even as all of this is unfolding and he is becoming the sacrifice. And we should stand in astonishment and say, what amazing faith. What an astounding thing. And then we should say, and when God asks me to have faith, and when God asks me to trust his word, and when God asks me to trust that he knows what he is doing, and when God asks me to lean on him, and although I see all kinds of difficult things surrounding me and all kinds of things that I'm heading into, yes, his word is solid. Yes, I can trust him. Yes, I can know that he will be true to his word. Yes, I know this because my Lord Jesus walked that path before me. And his father was true to his word. And Jesus rose. And my Lord Jesus walked this path before me. And he knows, if anyone in the universe knows this, he knows it fully, completely, altogether, what it means to walk by faith. So when he asks me to walk by faith and trust in him, It's not that he's a stranger to all of this. He's inviting me to walk along with him, to take the Word of God as he took the Word of God, to trust the Word of God as he trusted the Word of God, to share that Word of God back and forth from God to me, from me to God, as that Word of God in the life of Jesus from the Father to the Son to the Father, and that Word of God being that one thing that binds everything together and brings me into the completeness of that relationship with God. And God asks me simply to hear his Word as the Word of God back and forth between Father and Son forms the most intimate relationship. He invites me into that. So that's Isaac. Abraham has to play a different part. And there is an opening up of the heart of God to share with Abraham what it is like. What is it like to send your son into the world and know that not only will he die, but you will put him to death? That's extreme. But it is what God the Father did. John 3:16, it's about God the Father, isn't it? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. God the Father sent his Son into the world out of love for the world. Abraham gets to walk that walk. And it's three painful days. And it's only when the third day gets there that, and only when the third day has run its course, and only when the drama has been acted out, that Abraham will receive his son back from the dead. Because in his mind, as he's journeying those 3 days, he looks at his son and understands his son is gone. His son is lost. Only on the third day will he receive his son back. Abraham gets to walk through this whole drama and find out what God the Father was willing to do. Find out what was in the heart of God the Father. Find out the conflict, the sorrow, the great sacrifice of the Father for our salvation. And understand through all of that how deeply the Father loves us. That he would be willing to sacrifice his son, his only son, whom he loves. John chapter 10, verse 17. It's the Good Shepherd chapter. John chapter 10, verse 17. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. And as the Father is pouring out the wrath on sin, on his son, even at that point, the love of the Father for the Son reaches a depth and a height that is absolutely amazing. A few Sundays after Easter, and we will hit that text, and I'll share that with you in its full depth. And what do we learn from that? We learn that not only does Jesus understand our sorrows, not only does Jesus understand what it is like to be us in this world, but we learn that God the Father understands the sorrow, understands the grief, understands the difficulty of this life. There are many sorrows in life. There are many problems and difficulties. There are many things that we go through. And time again, people have said that the greatest one of all of those is for a parent to lose their child. The greatest. And where does God meet us? Does He meet us at the best, at the sweetest, at the most lovely place in life? Well, yes, He does. But He comes to us most sincerely and most from the heart at the place of sorrow. And Isaiah calls Jesus a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. But don't limit that to Jesus only, because God the Father understands. And if God the Father understands, then He is there to hear our prayers, no matter what those prayers are. God the Father is there, stooping down to us and listening to the voice of our heart. And God the Father understands because He walked through it with His friend Abraham, walked through it. And He walked through the whole thing further than Abraham and Isaac, walking that path with His Son Jesus. And out of all of this, never, ever, ever doubt that God Himself loves and cares for you. That's the foundation that we build the whole discussion of faith on. And yes, this story of Abraham and Isaac then becomes a story of faith, a story of trusting God. But it is a story of trusting God that begins with God showing Himself as the one who can be trusted, as the one who knows everything that this life can bring for us. In Jesus' name, amen.